मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं। Hare Krishna. So we're discussing from Canto 7. In fact, when we started our series of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, I had made one statement. At that time, we used to have the class every day. I hope the ones who are attending, they know. So we were having it every day. And at that time, I told that we don't know how long we can continue like this. So utilize this opportunity. And then it became 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. And now this week, it's so just once. So in spiritual life, one thing which I myself experienced, and this is what is my observation also in others' life. In spiritual life, Krishna gives opportunities and he sees how much we're utilizing. And then slowly he takes it away. Yes. And then when we prove our sincerity by various means, then Krishna again gives the various opportunities. Right. So in spiritual life, whatever we get, especially the opportunity to associate with devotees, we have to take it very, very seriously and associate with the devotees very, very seriously. And we have to be very, very attentive, when devotees speak. So we never know, when those devotees whom we are having constant association might shift to a different place or might reduce the frequency of their classes or whatever. Right? I remember this was 2014. Yeah, somewhere around 2013 or 14. So my mentor was always there with me, Amrinder Poo. He was always there with me. So it was very nice. 4 years we had spent together. He was training me in various ways. But then one fine day he told me that he's going to US. And now that there's a time zone difference. So we were hardly able to connect, with each other at that time. So that was the day when I was realizing that it's very rare to get the opportunity to associate with devotees. So we have to make maximum utilization of it. So even in our Sunday classes which are there, even Bhakti Vrikshas which are there, we never know when we will shift out or when those devotees who are taking those sessions might shift out or whatever. So we have to make maximum utilization of it by being attentive in every single class and progress as fast as possible. So Krishna gives the opportunity. He gives a favorable circumstance. He puts us in a favorable circumstance and he waits. How much we are utilizing? So at that time, a devotee has to be clever. He has to literally take a jump, high jump. And after some time, Krishna removes that favorable situation. Then he makes it unfavorable. And at that time, Krishna sees, is this devotee able to sustain or not? So in this way, favorable and unfavorable situations, Krishna will keep giving and taking it away. Right? So it's up to us in favorable situation, what do we do? Yes. So on this note, let's start with the verse. I guess we left it at the third verse. Let's go to the fourth verse. Seventh canto, chapter 5, titled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text 4. Please chant. Ekada sura ratputram ankam aropya pandava paprachha katyatam vatsa manyate sadhu yad bhavan. So till now we have seen, in the previous chapter we saw the wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. And who is describing all these qualities? Prahlad Maharaj, spiritual master Narada Muni. And now we have entered a very, very deep chapter. Why deep chapter? Because now Prahlad Maharaj is going to start speaking. And let me warn you all before itself. Only if you are a serious devotee and want to attain Krishna this very lifetime, continue attending these sessions, or else please quit. Because now Prahlad Maharaj verses are going to come, and Prahlad Maharaj keeps punching in every single verse. Only thing, in fact, fifth chapter is still okay, mild. But the sixth chapter, which is there, where he's actually giving class to all his schoolmates. Oh, that is like a slap on the face. When I heard it for the first time, I was like, what is Prahlad Bharat saying? It is like point blank, literally as it is. And he slaps in every single shloka. Every single, matlab, whatever we are attached to, he literally removes that attachment, from our life. So I've already given the warning. So still you can exit the class, no problem. But if you're there in the class, then be ready to digest Prahlad Maharaj verses. So now what has happened is Prahlad Maharaj was sent to school by Hiranyakashipu, and teachers' names were Shanda and Amarka. Shanda and Amarka were the teacher, were the sons of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya was the teacher or guru of all the demons, guru of Hiranyakashipu. So now we see that Prahlad Maharaj was taught very nicely in a school. What all things? What all? Which subjects? Same. Science, maths, history, civics, geography, whatever. Whatever is taught currently in the schools. That is how to do better sense gratification, how to do better politics. All these things were taught in Prahlad Maharaj school. So current schools are in parampara of the demonic schools of Prahlad Maharaj's time. So all these topics were taught, and Prahlad Maharaj, like a very, very obedient student, he would hear. He would hear attentively and he would speak whatever was heard. But in case of Prahlad Maharaj, in the school, what would happen is he would hear and he would speak, but nothing would go here or here. So he'll never absorb those teachings, because Prahlad Maharaj never liked the concept of friend and enemy. So Prahlad Maharaj never liked this concept. And last session, or last to last session, we discussed elaborately that how a devotee's vision is completely different. A devotee's vision is all about Vasudeva Kutumbam. So the entire creation is actually Vasudev's Kutumba, Vasudev's family. But for a materialist, he relates with this body. So only my family members are mine, my society members are mine, and the citizens of this nation are mine, and so on and so forth. So he relates with this body. So Prahlad Maharaj, being a very elevated devotee, and a very great devotee, he could never ever relate with this topic of friend and enemy. And this is what was taught throughout all the chapters of all the books in the school of Prahlad Maharaj. Now, in text 4, what has happened is Prahlad Maharaj has come home from vacation. Yes, some vacation maybe. So Prahlad Maharaj has come home. And now Prahlad Maharaj has come to his father. And what happened when Prahlad Maharaj came to his father, Hiranyakashipu? Now, in this verse, and also in the few verses later, we'll see how much Hiranyakashipu loves Prahlad Maharaj. See, this love aspect which is there, that is there in everyone's heart. Everyone's heart. What to talk about human beings? Even animals love their kids so much. So much. So here, Hiranyakashipu is anyways a human being, obviously with demoniac qualities, but still he has got so much of love for his son. And Narada Muni is describing what happened. So translation goes like this: My dear King Yudhishthir. So if you all remember, Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Once upon a time, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, took his son Prahlad on his lap and very affectionately inquired. So Prahlad Maharaj had come to him, and Hiranyakashipu, looking at his wonderful, beautiful, cute, innocent, very, very obedient son. Now the love from his heart overflowed. He took Prahlad Maharaj, kept it on his lap, and very affectionately he asked a wrong question. What was that question? My dear son, please let me know what you think is the best of all the subjects you have studied from your teachers. Now, what was the mistake that Hiranyakashipu did here in this question? So first is, he said that what you think is the best of all subjects. So this was the mistake, first mistake. So he should have told that what is the best thing that your teachers in the school have thought. And the second thing is, he's saying that the subjects that you have studied from your teachers. Now, when you say teachers, so Prahlad Maharaj's first teacher is Narada Muni. So Prahlad Maharaj will never consider Shanda and Amarka. Now, whenever he says teachers, then Prahlad Maharaj will remember Narada Muni. So now he has told, please let me know what you think is the best of all subjects. Instead of asking what is the best thing that your teachers have taught, that too he should have named Shanda and Amarka. He didn't do that. And then, so these are the two things. What is the best thing that you have learned from your teachers? He should have said, and he should have named his teachers, which he didn't do. Now, we'll see in the next shloka, Prahlad Maharaj is going to answer that question. So let's see if we can go to the next shloka today. Purport. Hiranyakashipu did not ask his young son anything that would be very difficult for him to answer. Instead, he gave the boy a chance to speak plainly about whatever he thought might be the best. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, being a perfect devotee, knew everything and could say what the best part of life is. In the Vedas, as it is said, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Sarvam Idam Vigyatam Bhavati. If one properly understands God, he can understand any subject matter very nicely. Sometimes we have to challenge big scientists and philosophers, but by the grace of Krishna, we emerge successful. It is impossible, practically speaking, for ordinary men to challenge scientists or philosophers concerning genuine knowledge, but a devotee can challenge them because the best of everything is known to a devotee by the grace of Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.11, Tesham evanu kampartam aham ajnana jam tamaha nashayamya atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. Krishna is situated in the core of everyone's heart as the super soul, dissipates all the ignorance from the heart of a devotee. As a special favor, he enlightens the devotee with all knowledge by putting before him the torch of light. Prahlad Maharaj therefore knew the best of knowledge, and when his father inquired from him, Prahlad gave him that knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj was able to solve the most difficult parts of the problems because of his advanced Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he replied as follows. So here, there's a nice key that is given. Key of all the knowledge. What is that? So here, this verse, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Sarvam Idam Vigyatam Bhavati. So anyone who knows Krishna knows everything. Because Krishna is everything. He is Purna. Purnamidam. Om Purnamidam Purnamadam. Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. So Krishna is Purna, and from him comes this Purna, this entire world which is complete. Now, many people are trying to understand this world, how this world works. They're doing various analysis, and various papers are written on it. And then they're just studying one part of it. But then, when they're studying one part of it, they don't realize there's so many other things which are related to it. And when they write some thesis or something about one part, they do research of one part, then some other scientist will come and do the research of other part, and then he will violate this particular thing that another person has done. Because in this world, to understand the entire creation is extremely difficult. What all things will understand? You just take up a cell from the body and try to analyze that cell. It has got so many things in that. So many things. In fact, I was flabbergasted when first time in my biology lab, we were told to prick and take one drop of blood and put it on the slide and see what is there in that. So many things were there in that. So many things were there. For the first time, I was seeing live that what is there in my blood. I thought I'm just positive. But I saw there's so many different structures in that. You look at any field for that matter. Now, someone who does the PhD. When he's doing PhD, does he write thesis on the entire subject? Say electronics. So he writes a thesis on electronics, is it? Or biology as a whole, or engineering as a whole. They take up a very, very small part of it. They'll take a branch of that particular subject, and from that branch, something little from that and something little from that, and then they'll write a thesis on that. That's what is PhD. So if you properly analyze, to understand this world is extremely complicated, because this world is complicated. This entire human body, people spend their entire life studying this human body, but still, some of the other thing remains. In fact, I was hearing in one of the class or from one of the doctors who is a devotee. So he was telling that a doctor who is a specialist of, say, eyes or specialist of what to say, some body limbs, he might not know what is actually happening in the other limbs because he has not gone deeply into that particular subject matter. Yes. So in this way, one part we understand, other part we might not understand. But then when we're talking about understanding the entire world means what all things comes into picture, animate, inanimate, in the animate aspects, we have got 84 lakh species. I'm talking about species, I'm not talking about number. If you take up number, then it's infinite. We cannot count also. And then you start doing research on every single aspect. One life is short. In one life, we can come back to Godhead. But in one life, we cannot understand this entire world. Yes. So here it's very clear. If we want to understand this entire world, or if we really want to be knowledgeable, only one thing we have to do. Get the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who is that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. So just by understanding Lord Krishna, the person understands everything that is there in this world. Because Krishna is everything. Anyone who understands Krishna, at that time what happens? The person who understands Krishna knows everything else because that person has got closer to Krishna. And when we are, just imagine, if you have understood Krishna, if you have got closer to Krishna, you've attained Krishna. So, Krishna is there with you always. Krishna is anyways with everyone, but I'm talking about that person has realized Krishna and he's there with him always. So now suppose he's stuck in something. So he'll ask Krishna, what is the answer? This person is asking something. What do you think? And Krishna will answer, he can speak. See, Prabhupada writes here, Prabhupada is giving a very, very personal example. Prabhupada is saying that we have to challenge big scientists and philosophers, but by the grace of Krishna, we emerge successful, Prabhupada says. Now, Prabhupada is at that time, Prabhupada was in his 70s, old man. And all these scientists and others, they had new technology. And through their new technology, they would talk to Prabhupada from that perspective. But Prabhupada would just defeat them like anything. He just defeat them. How he was able to do all this? Just because he was a pure devotee of Krishna. If we become pure devotee of Krishna, we actually get everything in our life. Everything because we have Krishna. Krishna is that infinite personality. But our problem is, we don't want infinite things. We want finite things in this world. So we just go around searching for finite things, small things. And when that small thing we acquire, no, it's temporary, we lose it, then we become frustrated, then we go for other thing, and that also goes away from our hand, then we go for other thing, and other, and finally we die. This is what we are doing lifetime after lifetime, lifetime after lifetime. But anyone who knows that, anyone who understands Krishna is very, very rare, very rare. And Krishna himself says this. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevam sarvamiti Samatma Sudurlaba. He says Sudurlaba. See, Durlaba means rare. And he's adding a Su to it. Sudurlaba. Sudurlaba now basically means very, very, very rare. Who is that rare, rarest personality? One who has understood Krishna, one who has accepted Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is a very important aspect not to understand that in this world, if there is something that which has to be understood or a person who has to be understood, then it's Krishna only. No one else in this world need to be understood because everyone else in this world and everything else in this world is temporary. You understand one thing, it changes. You understand some other thing, it changes. You try to understand the person will change. So everything in this world changes. But Krishna is that unchanging personality. If we just get closer to Krishna, we understand Krishna, we understood everything in this world. And what is the logic behind? How is it that when we understand Krishna, we understand everything in this world? Krishna gives this clarification in Bhagavad Gita 10 chapter 11 shloka that is quoted here in the purport. Tesham evanukampartam aham ajnana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashva. So currently our situation is ajnana situation. We are ajnanis. We don't have proper knowledge. And when we attain Krishna, when we realize Krishna, when we understand Krishna, what happens is Krishna within our heart, what he does is he lights the lamp of knowledge. And whatever ajnana is there, whatever darkness is there within us, that is completely removed. Completely removed. So this is a very nice logic which Krishna is giving. I give the knowledge, he's basically saying. I give the knowledge. In 10.10 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. I give that knowledge, he says. Anyone who is engaged in my devotional service, I give them knowledge. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give that knowledge by which they can come back to me. So in this way, we understand that Prahlad Maharaj, being such a great devotee, who was always in touch with Krishna, who has attained Krishna. So for Prahlad Maharaj, which question is difficult to answer? What is difficult for Prahlad Maharaj? And here, this Hiranyakashipu is asking a very, very generic question. Very generic question. Like for example, if the same question would have asked to any mortal being of this world, I mean a small innocent kid, that what is that? Please let me know what you think is the best of all the subjects that you have learned. So the child might say that, I like this particular poem. Or I like this particular aspect of my teacher, you know, this particular thing that my teacher has taught. And there, whatever inputs or whatever the kids would speak, so they would speak on a very, very low level, according to their level. They're at the low level, so they'll speak at that level. Yes. And the parent would feel also, would be, feel very nice. Okay, my child is learning. It's very nice. It's very nice. But here, that's what was the expectation of Hiranyakashipu. That Prahlad would say that I learned politics, I learned economics, I learned how to rule, how to administrate, how to do administration. But then Prahlad Maharaj, he threw a googly. You know, and this googly was was very heavy. And just by hearing this, Hiranyakashipu was clean bold. Let's see this verse, a very heavy verse, you know, and one of the important verses, you know, which many, many acharyas have commented upon. And Prabhupada has also written a very big purport on this. So please chant this verse since it's important. We'll chant. Shri Prahlada Vacha.
Shri Prahlada Vacha.
Tat Sadhu Manye Suryavarya Dehinam. Sada Samudvigna Dhyama Sadgriha. Hitvatma Patam Grihamanda Kupam. Vanam gato yad dharimashrayetad. So what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, see how he starts. So what did Hiranyakashipu ask? Hiranyakashipu asked this question that what is the best thing that you have learned? And Hiranyakashipu says, manyate sadhu yad bhavan. So he says, sadhu basically means the best. So he's saying, bhavan, that is your good self. So manyate, you consider, so what is the best thing, sadhu, what is the best thing that you consider? Or what is the best thing that you feel, whatever you have learned from your teachers? So same thing, that's how Prahlad Maharaj is starting the shloka now. What he says? Tat sadhu manye, he says that very good thing which I think, tat sadhu manye, according to me, what is the good thing? Then he starts speaking. Asurya varya. He addresses his father as Asurya Varya. Asurya Varya basically means the best of all the demons. And then he continues and he speaks a very punching verse. Let's see the translation and the purport and then we'll try to speak something on that. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Oh, best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavana, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take the shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what Prahlad Maharaj said. Purport: Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna mator manorathenasti dhavato bahihi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications, because he is engaged in mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually Sat, eternal, and what is Asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is Asato Ma Jyotir Gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and the topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere, it is said, Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medhinam. Those who are attracted to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, and one should go to the forest. In the Varnashrama system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyasa. As confirmed in the Vishnu Puran, Varnashrama charavata purushena parhapuman Vishnur aradhyate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashrama, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept Vanaprastha life, because as a grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demonic due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting Vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into Graham Andhakupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness moment, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Okay, lot of points to discuss. So first, Prahlad Maharaj. Now look at Prahlad Maharaj's humility. So he knows very well Hiranyakashipu is a non-devotee, Hiranyakashipu is an atheist. But still, what Prahlad Maharaj is doing, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking with lots of awe and reverence. So Prahlad Maharaj is speaking with so much of respect. And how does he start? Asurya Varya. Best among all the demons. Obviously, Asurya Varya is not a very good, like for example, you meet a terrorist and you say, best of all the terrorists. That's what Prahlad Maharaj said. But then, the ones whose mind is demoniac, that person would feel very nice. That person would feel very nice. Like for example, in this world, if you tell someone that, you're very lusty, you're the best among all the lusty people, the person will feel very nice. The materialists, they feel very nice. In fact, there are discussions between persons in this world. So, especially with drunkards, So one drunkard would say that, kitna mara tune? How much did you drink? They would say that, one full bottle. And the other would say, are only this much? You are nothing in front of me. I had two. And the third one would say that, you people are nothing. No, I had three. Yes. And the other person would say that, I am not yet finished the infinite number of bottles which I have been drinking from the entire day. Yes. So people in this world, they don't understand what is best. They don't understand. They feel that, you know, when someone is glorifying anything of this material world, any material quality of ours, we feel very nice. But we don't understand that this particular quality which the person is glorifying is not going to take me back home, back to Godhead. In fact, he's telling that you're best in this particular quality because you have been there in this world for many, many lifetimes, and then now you've mastered this quality. So, since you have mastered this quality, you're eligible to stay in this world forever. Now, be here forever. Yes. People like material glorification. People like this glorification. And especially this asuric glorification. You're the best among all the terrorists. You're the best among all the drunkards. You're the best among all the sex monglers. You see, boys have this, college boys I've seen, they have this logo of Playboy. Means one who plays with girls, yes, who is a sex mongler, woman mongler, whatever. So they feel very nice. They feel, oh, I'm a playboy. And then if someone goes and tells him that you're the best of all the playboys, he would feel proud. Yes, this is the world. This is the world we are living in. Such a nasty world we are living, I tell you. Such a nasty world. In this world, if suppose you go and glorify someone's good quality, I'm talking about now all the materialists. I don't know if devotees would be able to understand or relate to what I'm saying. But when it comes to materialists, if you glorify them, some good quality that you're very, very humble and things like that. Suppose you say you're very humble. That person might get offended. He might say that, no, how can you call me humble? No, I'm not humble. I'm not humble, and so on and so forth. At least I've experienced this. You know, we have spoken this and we have got such replies. So in this way, we see that in this world, now glorification is something which people want, and that's what they want is demonic glorification. And they literally relish. And here, when Prahlad Maharaj said, Asura Varya, Asura Varya, Hiranyakashipu scholar was tight. Oh, okay, thank you very much. You're right, you're right. I'm the best of all the demons. There is no demon, no, which is as great as I am, because I am the one who is violating all the rules and regulations of Shastra. I am that person. And then he continues. What is he saying? Tat sadhu manya asurya varya dehinam sada samutvigna dhyam asad grahat. So here it is talked about dehinam sada samudvigna. So the ones who has taken this body, this material body, dehinam, the one who has taken this material body will always be in anxiety. Always be in anxiety. He will always keep relating, you know, with the various aspects around this world with this body. Anything that is related to this body, it's very nice, very precious, and the person would like to take care of it very nicely. That's what everyone is doing, right? And he's saying that sada samudvigna dhyam asad grihat. Asat. Asat means temporary. Now, if you properly analyze in our own lives, we have spoken this before also, but for our own purification, we would like to repeat. We are attached to so many temporary things of this world. So many. I was hearing in one of the class that... I heard this, but I've not read about it anywhere, and I've not seen people following this, but looks like in villages and other places, people follow this. Now, suppose a person is about to die, and people get to know that he's about to die. So it is described that all his possessions are taken away from him, all his clothes and other things, which he's currently wearing also is taken away from him. And then he's not allowed to die on the bed in which he's lying. He's put down on the floor. Yes, and that's how he's supposed to die. This is about the clothes that he's wearing and the bed on which he's sleeping. But what about the possessions that the person has, the wealth and the property and other things? Nowadays, before a person dies, they make sure that they take the signature. Legally or illegally? Legally or illegally? Same people whom we have taken care in our life very nicely, those are the people who not do all these things at the end. So nothing is permanent in this world. Nothing. Currently, whatever we are thinking, that this person is permanent in my life, this thing is permanent in my life, this bank balance is permanent in my life, nothing is permanent in this life. It's asat. It is temporary. It is not permanent. Asat. But the problem is that everyone thinks that it is sat. It is eternal. I have this. Now the next is I will do this particular. Now I have a plan. Now next I'll do this. Then I'll take care of my family like this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Entire life, the person is engrossed in these thoughts of how to do this particular thing, how to do that particular thing to make sure my living is good with my family, with my family members. Entire life, he's just immersed in thinking this, entire life. But the only time he realizes that it is asat is at the time of death. Death is that bitter truth of life which opens up all the other bitter truths. All of us are currently very, very nice, strong, and you know, we are well to do and things like that. But the day we become old, that is the time we realize that who are the real well-wishers, who are the ones who will take us as burden, and so on and so forth. Yes, at that time. But the problem with us is, we don't foresee, we are not able to see that what is going to happen with us. That is the problem. You see, in the material, at least for devotees, Bhagavatam is there. We are very fortunate. Bhagavatam keeps all these things in front of us. And even if we are not thinking, Bhagavatam makes us think. Even if we are not thinking about our future, about what will happen to us, now Bhagavatam makes us think about it critically, to do critical analysis. But what about the materialists? They are just living a life. They are just living a life and they don't know what life they are living. They are just existing. I would not say living also. They are just existing, doing the four activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and anything that is needed to do these four things, they are attached to it completely. Completely they are attached to it. Like currently, if you see that so many people are losing their jobs, so many people are getting into depression, and there are few, you know, who are committing suicide. They're committing suicide. I'm talking about common public. Celebrities we talked about. No, but now I'm talking about common public. Just getting to know COVID positive, people are committing suicide. So why? Why are people getting into depression there? Why are they stressed? Recently, last Sunday, one lady texted me. Actually, I was giving a youth class. I don't know how that lady came into my class. Yes. So she texted me saying, I'm 50 plus and I've lost my job and my husband has lost his job. And so many other things she texted. And she was telling that, Guruji, please help. I'm not able to manage myself. You know, I'm literally getting tense and stressed and so on and so forth. Why? Why are people feeling so much of stress? Because they feel that this was mine and it is taken away. Aray, but it was never ours. Whatever we own, it is not ours. Krishna has given so that we can take care of it. And it's Krishna's desire. Whenever he wants, he'll take it back. Who are we to say that, no, you cannot take it this time, take it that time. No. Krishna gave it to us. He said, okay, you are the caretaker, you take care of it. And then if Krishna wants, he'll take it away. Simple. A person who understands this is a person who is blissful within. And such a person is called sadhu. Such a person is called saintly. So saintly doesn't mean, wearing saffron robes and having a bald head and things like that. A person who realizes this fact, what is sat and what is asat, he is actually saintly. But many, many people in this world, in fact, I would say 99% of the people in this world, they are living on this platform of asat, of temporariness of this world. And they're attached to these temporary things. And as soon as that is snatched away from them, the time snatches away everything. What to talk about things around, the time snatches this body also. at the end of life. So when they're snatched away, the person is not able to hold himself properly. The person is not able to be stable. The person becomes extremely unstable. Extremely unstable. So this is what is spoken. Asat. Asat. So in this way, a devotee has to critically analyze that what is sat in my life? What is eternal in my life? And when a devotee analyzes this properly, then the devotee will understand that only one thing only one aspect of my life is permanent, and that is the aspect of bhakti. Only bhakti is permanent. Everything else is temporary. In fact, I make a very strong statement in the youth classes. So I say that only bhakti is actually the useful thing that we're doing, and everything else that we're doing is time pass. Why do we say that everything else is time pass? Because with time, as the time passes, everything else we have with us will be taken away. It's just time pass. Somehow we are passing the time. That's it. And when we become very, very serious in that time pass, now we lose the actual aspect of life, the eternal aspect of life, and that is bhakti. It's a very strong point, which we have to meditate. But this doesn't mean that we give up our responsibilities. This only means that we have to do our responsibilities without attachment. And this is the art that bhakti teaches. This is the art. Why am I using this word art? Because it's an art. It is not something which is inborn or something like that. It has to be learned. With the practice of bhakti, it has to be learned. And all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni, Vyasadev, because of whom we are getting these shlokas. Which literally pulls us out from the consciousness of asat and forcefully places in the platform of sat. Even if you want it or even if you don't want. Sometimes when newcomers attend these classes, so I have kept this as a closed group sessions, because newcomers cannot take this. How can you say that this is asat? No, it is sat. I completely believe that this is sat. This is completely eternal. This is what people feel. And when you speak against that, people are not able to take it. People are not able to take it at all. This is the job of a sadhu. What a sadhu does. So previously, in the Vedic times, a sadhu would go begging door to door. Now this, see, sadhu means who? Sadhu means who is internally satisfied. So sadhu is not a person who wants some jalebis and rasgullas and rasmalai and things like that going door to door. So he can just be at one place and Lord will come and give. There's no need to go door to door also, because he attained Krishna. But a sadhu would go door to door for only one reason: to shake those people in the family who are attached to the family. They would go and shake them. They would go and ask the alms, and maybe the person, the head of the family or someone from the family would come and give them alms. And then, since the alms is given, so the sadhu would say, please hear from me. Since you have given me alms, I would like to speak to you something. And the sadhu would start speaking from Bhagavatam. Then he would start speaking about what is sat and what is asat. So sadhus would go around door to door to educate those family holders, those family men, that what is sat and what is asat. But this aspect of sat and asat is not clear for people in general. At least for devotees. Now, this particular verse does not apply to devotees, by the way. This verse applies to the materialists, the ones who have not yet realized that what is sat and what is asat. So when a person realizes what is asat, this is what is the next statement that he makes, that hitvatma patam griham andakupam. Griham andakupam, he says. So there's a very strong word, griham. That is family, andakupam, blind well. Okay, let me go into detail of this. Andakupam, blind well. What is this blind well all about? So in the villages, even now, there'll be some places where now there's no water. It has dried up, or maybe little water is there in the well. And in rainy season and other, since that well is unused for a long, long time. So what happens is long grasses will grow around that well and things like that during the monsoon, and that well is not used, and people after some time they'll forget also, since it's not used, so it will get covered. the entire well will get covered from the top with all those green lushy plants. Now what would happen is when the animals would go grazing around, so these animals would not know obviously that there is a well. They would go to eat the grass. And now the well is here. They would come, they would eat the grass, and they would eat the grass, and they would eat the grass, and inside the well. And now this graham under koopam, this under koop which is there, it is so dark, it is so deep, and the animal falls in that. And when the animal falls in that, now it does not know how to come out. Now since it is a dark well, no one would know also what is there inside. The animal might, you know, keep shouting and shouting and shouting. Maybe some water might be there. It might be drowning also. Who knows? And there might be many poisonous insects and poisonous reptiles, you know, staying in that particular well. So the animal keeps shouting, but outside no one knows what is happening inside. This is Andhakoopa. And what happens when the animal falls inside that? Animal just keeps shouting and shouting and shouting. And after some days, it has to die. That's what happens in the Andhakoopa. Now look at Prahlad Maharaj's audacity. Prahlad Maharaj is telling Hiranyakashipu that you are in Andhakoopa. You are in a blind well. So there are two concepts. One is called as Grihastha and another is called as Grihamedhi. I don't think I've spoken about this anytime. So what is Grihastha concept and what is Grihamedhi? So I'll talk about Grihamedhi first and then I'll talk about Grihastha. So Grihamedhi, so this blind well concept is very much applicable to Grihamedhis. Who are Grihamedhis? Grihamedhi basically means a householder who is completely immersed in the sense gratification of life, who sees the wife as the object of sense gratification and the kids are the byproduct of the same and is attached to the wife and kids without understanding the higher goal of life. So a person who enters this Grihamedhi kind of life, what happens is he has entered that blind well. There is no way to go out of it. No way to go out of it. He's just in that cycle. He's just there in the cycle, taking care of the wife, taking care of the kids, and then just fulfilling their desires and this and that. And he's completely blind of what is there outside the well. Completely blind. He does not understand that there is a world outside. He does not understand that there is a transcendental aspect, you know, to the life, to this human life, human form of life. So he is that Grihamedhi, completely engrossed in sense gratification. He'll work like a donkey day and night together. And after working like a donkey, now whatever money he gets, he would spend just taking care of his body, for his family members, filling the house with possessions. And he would just keep doing this day in and day out. And finally, he just dies like an animal who fell in that blind well died. So this is Grihamedhi. Who is a Grihastha? Grihastha is again a householder, but a Grihastha keeps Krishna in the center of the house. And a Grihastha, he's not interested in sense gratification. He is interested to satisfy the senses of Krishna. He is a Grihastha. So he is the person who understands the higher aspect of life. He is the person who understands the goal of life, that is attaining Krishna. He is the person who understands that what is the path to attain Krishna. And accordingly, he molds his life in such a way that he would be able to practice bhakti very nicely. Sometimes devotees ask this question that what sort of profession should be chosen? Or what sort of life we should live? And so on and so forth. These are all interrelated questions. So this is the key. This is the answer. This is the solution. What is that? That particular profession, that particular aspect of life, which will allow us to practice bhakti nicely, that sort of profession or that sort of activity should be chosen. Not that all the time in the head, you know, all the time we're thinking, what this, what next to do, what next to do. No. We do some job to take care of this body, to keep the body and soul together, and then invest all the other time in understanding Krishna, in attaining Krishna. Such a person is called as a Grihastha, Grihastha devotee. And what does a Grihastha devotee do? The Grihastha devotee, he takes care of his wife and kids very nicely, and he educates them on the path of bhakti, and all of them as a family, they practice bhakti together and go back home back to Godhead. That is called as grihastha life. Yes. So a person who is living a grihamedi life, he's like an animal. He's actually two-legged animal who just knows about eating nice foodstuffs here and there in this restaurant, that restaurant, bars and pubs or whatever, sleeping, and then mating and defending. All the time he's just busy thinking about this, like literally like a dog. No, he just keeps thinking about this. Where can I eat? No, how can I have better sex life? How can I sleep better? How can I defend myself better from all my rivalries around? This is what is the thought process. But for a grihastha, the thought process is, how can I wind up all these things and invest more time in bhakti? He's a grihastha. He's a grihastha devotee. Right? So in this way, these are the two difference. This is the difference between a grihastha and a grihamedi. So devotees are always grihastha. Even if they are not, Bhagavatam will make them grihastha. Because anyone who goes through Bhagavatam, that person cannot remain grihamedi. Even if he has little brain substance also, little. That person cannot do sense gratification. That person cannot remain grihamedi. Cannot live an animal life. He will surely be a grihastha, keeping Krishna in the center and serving Krishna very nicely. So this is what, very nicely it is described here by Prahlad Maharaj, where he says that hitvatma patam, give up this. Whom is he telling all this? He's telling Hiranyakashipu. Oh Asura Varya, give up this. You are in Andakupa. Give up this grihamedi form of life and do what? Vanam gato yad dharimashrayeta. Give up everything and go to vana. Are you are cross 50. I don't know in Satyoga what was the time when people would go for vanaprastha, but Kaliyuga 50. So we can just assume and say that Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you have already crossed 50 vanaprastha stage. What the hell you are doing here? Go to vana. And which vana? Go to Vrindavana. Go to Vrindavan. And do what? Dharim ashrayata. Take ashraya of Hari. Take ashraya of Hari. Practice bhakti. Many times, people say that bhakti is meant for retirement time. You're still a young couple. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life very nicely. Have nice time together and go out around. There's so many places to explore. Explore. Enjoy. Why are you doing this now, this bhakti, etc.? Why this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, why? Why are you doing this? And, this is regarding young couples. But when youth are practicing bhakti, unmarried boys and girls when they're practicing bhakti, their life becomes miserable. People literally don't allow them to practice bhakti. They're like, why are you practicing bhakti now? What has happened? Is it a love breakup? Is it that your boss kicked you out from the job? What is the problem? What is the problem? Why are you doing bhakti now? It's a retirement job. It's not a retirement job. If that was the case, if bhakti was a retirement job, tell me why old people sit in the house even now and watch TV? Tell me. I'm sure all of you might have some old people in your houses or some people in your villages or whatever. Tell me why those people are still sitting at home and watching TV. Why are they still discussing about politics? Why are they still doing gossip here and there? Why? If that is really a retirement plan. Bhakti is not a retirement plan. Bhakti, right from the age of 5, Prahlad Maharaj says, Kaumaram acharet pragyaho. Right from the age of 5, bhakti has to be practiced and practiced and practiced. So that at the old age, the person can relish bhakti, not start practicing bhakti. At old age, what a person can practice bhakti? Old age, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. In old age, a person cannot pass stool also properly. He has got constipation at that time. He cannot digest food. He cannot eat properly, digest food, cannot pass stool, urine. They struggle so much. The doctors put so many pipes to remove the urine also. And the knee pain and the hands and legs and so much of pain, cataract in the eyes, the tongue becomes swollen, the ears are not able to hear properly. And in this, the person says, now I have to start practicing. Yeah, you cannot see the letters those are given in Bhagavatam, you cannot hear the Mahamantra properly. You cannot chant the Mahamantra. You cannot pronounce the Mahamantra properly. And you want to do bhakti now. We all are extremely fortunate. All of us. All of us are extremely fortunate. Somehow by the mercy of some devotees, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we have somehow bumped into Krishna consciousness. See, we have not come voluntarily, you know, that I want to explore something in my life. I want to attain Krishna. Nothing like that. Some of us might have been depressed. Some of us might have been stressed. Some of us might have been literally in a mess of life. And some very few were actually exploring the higher aspects of life. But no one had a goal of attaining Krishna. Come on. Let's be frank. So somehow we are bumped into Krishna consciousness. Like for example, what do you mean by bumped into Krishna consciousness? It's like you're walking on the road and suddenly, you know, you bump into a person. And then you realize, "Arey, my friend, how are you?" Yes, this is what happened with us in Krishna consciousness. We just came into bhakti. Now, literally, you know, it's like you're standing outside the swimming pool. And then someone just pushed you. And then you started swimming. That's what has happened now. Someone in our life has pushed us into bhakti. Or, you know, we were just walking on the road and we bumped into a devotee. And the devotee gave us a Bhagavad Gita or gave us the Gita course pass. And somehow we are there in bhakti. We all are extremely fortunate. We are at the right place. Right place. Because if we are not there in bhakti, then for sure, in our old age, we will be there in front of the TV, not able to see the characters on the TV, but still sitting in front of the TV. Can you imagine this abominable state of existence? And everyone in the house is just chastising the person. And that person is passing stool urine here and there, feeling embarrassed in life and waiting, when will Yamaraj come to take me? So this point has to be literally meditated upon. That right time, the person should give up. Yes. And when can he give up? When there's a practice of giving up throughout the life. When there's a practice of getting detached throughout the life. When there's a practice of getting attached to Krishna throughout the life. Then, see, so we say devotional practice. See, the word practice is used, right? So we say devotional practice. So when we are doing devotional practice every single day, trying to get attached to Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day, by reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other Shastra, hearing these lectures, what happens is we get attached to Krishna and detached, you know, from this world. And at the right time, we are a person who is, you know, sort of renounced. Renounced but attached to Krishna completely. That is the stage that we all have to reach. But by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this stage is by default in our life. By default, this will happen with us, where we'll be attached to Krishna for sure. The only thing that we have to do is stay connected to this tree of ISKCON. Yes? So when the fruit is connected to the tree, automatically it will get ripened. No need of any extra endeavor. So we have to just be associated with devotees. That's it. Keep attending the classes, keep practicing every single day, and with time we'll see, we'll be a ripe, fresh, sweet mango, which can be nicely offered to Krishna. Yes, we can nicely offer ourselves to Krishna. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Are you, Asuravarya, best among all the demons? What the hell are you doing in the house? You are a person who has fallen in the blind well. You are a Grahamedi. Now, when you read the sloka, you don't understand all these things. It feels very nice. You know? It's like, Tat sadhu manye asuryavarya dehinam. But then when you enter deep, then you understand. Tat sadhu manye asuryavarya dehinam. Sada samudvigna dhyama sadgriha. You've fallen in the blind well and you'll just die like this. So, oh father, I suggest you. In fact, I'm telling you the ultimate solution of life. What he's saying? Hitvatma patam. Grahamanda kupam. Give up this, you know, this andakupa graha. And do what? Vanam gato dat dharimashrayetat. Go to vana. Basically saying become a full-time devotee. Go. Enough of your, this demonic activities. So, as devotees, now this is our job to practice bhakti every single day without fail. If we are not practicing bhakti every single day without fail, then for sure we are inside the well. Which well? Andhakupa, blind well. And to come out of the blind well is not easy. Only, you know, by the way, all of us were in blind well. All of us were in blind well. So when the animal is in the blind well, suppose a very nice person comes there and he hears, you know, and then somehow he rescues the animal from the blind well. So only when a person from outside rescues us from the blind well, we are saved. Same thing has happened with all of us. Someone from outside has rescued us and he has pulled us out from the blind well. But in bhakti, a person does not hold, you know, another person for a long time. All your bhakti viksha leaders might be holding you for some time. Yes. But then it will not happen for a long time. After some time, you know, they have to give up and you have to be independent. Yes. So when we are practicing bhakti every single day, then we'll be able to carry on doing bhakti, not till the end of our life, or else forget it. You're outside the well again, you know, we'll fall inside the well. And then what will happen inside the well? Same thing. No, rotting, dying. That's what will happen. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj, he literally slaps to all the Grahamedis that leave all this, give up all this, and go to Vana, go to Vrindavana and practice bhakti. So with this, I would like to pause here and take questions, and then we'll today chant the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, there's a question by Monomita Mataji. In one of the Gita classes, we had discussed who all we could chastise with speech. Parents are not one of them. How do we understand Prahlad Maharaj addressing his father as Asura Varya? While Hiranyakashipu took it as glorification, was the intent of Prahlad Maharaj when he addressed him as such? Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj knew the art of speaking. And Prahlad Maharaj knew how to please his father. So that's why he spoke like that. That's why he spoke like that. Prahlad Maharaj was an obedient child. He would never try to speak against his father. Against his father. Now, and also, why did Prahlad Maharaj speak these words? Because Hiranyakashipu asked, what is the best thing according to you? So very humbly, Prahlad Maharaj is putting it forward. This is the best thing according to you. Okay. So, Harish Prabhu is asking this question. Sometimes the logic of being detached gets skewed in the mind and we tend to just do our work, etc. Example, job studies, taking general family responsibilities without giving our best to that job for the time we are doing the job. But then on the other side, I feel that whatever we have committed to, we should still do it with full commitment. However, not get attached to result and not get anxious if it is not going our way. Though I understand if the commitment itself is a roadblock in bhakti, then we should take a pause and decide how much to take on. Please help how to exactly be clear about real detachment. I guess even if we are detached to activity, still we would try our best, try best to do our job with full commitment. So when it comes to doing job, you know, being grihasthas, you know, money is needed, so you have to work. There's no option of not working. And it is important to climb the corporate ladder also, because promotion is needed, salary is needed, bonus is needed, whatever, hike is needed. So all these things are important for grihastha. Grihastha means savings. So money is needed. So for brahmacharis are beggars. So for brahmacharis, it's okay. For grihastha, it's very important to earn. So every grihastha should earn. That's very important. But then, the grihastha's sadhana schedule should be very strong. So the sadhana should be finished in the morning. The chanting should be done. And some reading, some hearing should be done. And these satsangs should be attended quite often. It should be regular. So when we keep doing this, and then when we have good savings and things like that, and anyways, one day we're going to retire. So at that time, we can do full-time bhakti later. So now the detachment basically is that when we're doing sadhana, in that time, we have to be detached, not thinking about anything else of this world. We have to just do our sadhana very nicely. And when we're doing office work, okay, we have the mood that I'm a servant of Krishna, working for Krishna. And anyways, I'll give part of my earnings to Krishna. So let me work for Krishna. With that mood, you know, we can do our daily jobs, especially the office job that you're talking about. So this is about detachment. At least in that period when we're doing sadhana, we should be detached. At that time, we shouldn't think about, oh, okay, this release is there and this problem is there. How should I solve this bug and things like that? No. At that time, only Krishna. Those 4 hours that you're giving, 2 hours of chanting, 1 hour of reading, 1 hour of hearing. Those 4 hours that is given, we have to just give for Krishna. Forget about the entire world at that time. Even if the entire world drowns or dies, it's okay for us at that time. That is the mood. So when we do our sadhana like that, then various aspects are revealed. Various aspects are revealed. And we'll be able to manage various things very nicely. So we have to work, especially grihastha devotees have to work, because without money, how will you live? Right? So hope I answer your question.